Hey, farmers and landowners, this is Damian Mason coming at you with a question. Have you ever had disease or pest problems cost you money by reducing your yield? Well, of course you have. We fight this, right? That's what production agriculture is all about, is working as best we can to put out a great yield. And to do so, oftentimes, you've got to overcome disease and pests. The problem is we usually treat those diseases and pests after the problem, right? So what if you could do it proactively? What if you had a tool that gave you predictive analytics so that you would know if you have things like corn rootworm, soybean cyst nematode, sudden death syndrome? Well, you have that tool now. It's from Pattern Ag. Pattern Ag, doing predictive soil analytics way beyond just the old days of sticking a probe in the ground every few acres and saying, hey, wow, we got some nitrogen deficiency here. They'll let you know if you have pests and disease. Go to pattern.ag. That's www.pattern.ag to learn more about this awesome technology and how it can help you increase your yields by taking care of diseases and pests before they cause you harm. Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of the Business of Agriculture podcast. We have a great discussion for you today. We're talking about ecosystem services. We're talking about carbon markets. We're talking about this new market about nitrogen capture and how you can get paid for it. In other words, this is an industry that is frankly new within the business of agriculture. I started hearing about carbon markets, getting paid for carbon maybe like 5 years ago. And then it was 2 years ago, I ran across Kelly Garrett. That's my buddy with Extreme Ag. And that's how I started working with Extreme Ag, because I said, you're the first farmer I've ever heard that actually got paid for this. I've been hearing about it for a while. You got paid. And then I came across TruTerra. TruTerra is a division of Land O'Lakes, 100-year-old cooperative. I used to make up Land O'Lakes milk replacer. It was my first job on a farm, taking that milk replacer out of the 50-pound bag, mix it up with hot water, and give it to the calves. Now, TruTerra is this company, and they can bring money from corporations that want to offset their environmental degradation, their greenhouse gas emissions, their carbon footprint, and they'll take money and give it to you, a farmer, through TruTerra's system. And I know there's a lot of questions you have about this carbon market and ecosystem services, and that's why I brought on Mariah Murphy. Mariah is the director of retailer and farmer services for TruTerra. She and I have met, worked together, interviewed her when I was in South Dakota at the Ag PhD event on behalf of Extreme Ag. And I said, would you come on and tell these people all that you know about this whole vague, somewhat gray, somewhat misunderstood thing called ecosystem services? Mariah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to see you again.
We see each other a lot, and we're going to see each other again at Commodity Classic, and I'm greatly looking forward to that. Now that TruTerra is a sponsor, I'm wondering if maybe I could get you to open up that credit card and maybe buy me a couple of drinks.
Maybe steak dinner or something. We'll have to see.
Let's do our listeners this favor. Give them the overview of what this whole thing is, because I see it growing and it looks like it's coming to a farm near you. I wonder who can profit from it. And I want you to explain all that. Ecosystem services, that's what you called it now. It's not just carbon capture. Give it to me.
Yeah. So I want to start off with TruTerra. So TruTerra is the sustainability division of Land O'Lakes. We are part of this 100-year-old cooperative. We work with ag retailers. We work with farmers, helping them kind of figure out where they can reduce their risk in the sustainability space and maximize their profit. That is kind of our whole entire focus, but then also allowing them opportunities to participate in an ecosystem market. Ecosystem services markets are a few things. So we've talked about carbon credits in the past. We're now looking at things like nitrogen reduction credits. So as you take a look at the reduction credits, that's how do you reduce nitrogen? How do you add stabilizers? What are the pieces that go into that to actually reduce greenhouse gas emissions from the nitrogen piece? But then we also are really excited to announce that we have some new services coming. And so soil health assessments are something that we're going to be
implementing. And I want to get to that, but since carbon's the one that all of the people, anybody in ag, you know, I got folks in the business of agriculture that are farmers. I've got non-farm people, my college roommate who listens to this. It's crazy. We've been hearing about this for a while, but right now there are actually farmers getting paid from some company that's not you. It comes through you. You're the conduit, if you were, for practices on their farm that sequester carbon. So let's just, how's it all work? I know that there's this money. It's not yours. Where's it come from?
Yeah, so you guys have probably seen in the news. I mean, it's definitely a buzzword everywhere you look. Everyone's talking about sustainability, sustainable solutions. And in fact, there's about 1,200 to 1,300 organizations in the United States alone that have come forward and said they're going to do something in the climate space. And that may be they're going to be climate, you know, they're going to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. They want to be net zero. And so that's really where it starts. And so they have made a public commitment to reduce greenhouse gas or go net zero. And so they have set aside a budget to actually begin working in both agriculture and the forestry side. So forestry is also doing some sustainability pieces. And so they start there, right? And then they come to an organization like Truterra that has the connectivity to the farmers and our ag retailers. And they say, hey, you know, we're looking to actually reduce emissions. How can you help us? And so then we work with them to connect them to the farmers and our ag retailers.
Name the name of a household name that you told me, a household name that everybody has three cans of their product on average. And I read this at Thanksgiving a couple of years ago. On average, the American household has three cans of their product in their pantry.
Yeah, so we're working with organizations like Campbell's, which is who I'm sure you are mentioning, but they are the ones that are focused on this, right? And so Campbell's is a customer of ours.
So Campbell's gives you money. Truterra has somebody that goes and calls on companies like Campbell's, right? So you go to the environmental liaison for Campbell's and say, we're Truterra. We have this network of ag retailers through Land O'Lakes, and we've got boots on the ground, and we know farms and farmers, and we can help you offset carbon emissions for Campbell's. And they say, great. They give you money, right?
Yeah, we can help you, right? Just like if you're a farmer and you have a traditional agronomist or a salesman that comes and visits you, we do the exact same thing on the downstream side. And so they would be working with the Campbell's of the world, the Walmarts of the world, those big name organizations that are making these commitments.
Now you say this money comes from Campbell's, you hold it, and then you're looking for a way to give it to a farmer to get this money. Let's go with that. OK, we already know that Campbell Soup or Walmart gives money to Truterra and says, we want you to do this. And they do or do not give you practices that they want to adhere to, or you set the practices.
Yeah. So it's actually different than that even. So there are some standard bodies or some standard operating procedures that are set by the certification companies. And so you have these certification companies like a Sustain Search, or you have, you know, like a Vera or Carbon Action Reserve. They are the ones that are actually out here kind of setting the standard through their methodologies, because they're the ones that are certifying everything. Right. And so they're kind of the gatekeeper, I would say, in terms of who is actually saying what practice is going to be accepted. So that's where it kind of starts. And then we are adhering to one of these methodologies or these certification bodies. And then we are able to pass that through the farmer. So everyone is really operating on the same premise.
Okay. So if I am a farm owner or farmer, let's say, and I want to do this, and I'm not a Truterra customer, do I have to be a Truterra? Do I have to be, I'm sorry, Land O'Lakes. Do I have to be buying stuff from a Land O'Lakes retailer to get in on this?
No. So you do not have to be a Land O'Lakes customer. You do not have to be a Land O'Lakes retailer. Something that we have tried to make sure that we are doing is we are willing to work with any farmer, any retailer, no matter where they're at in the journey. And so you would just go to the Truterra Ag website and you would find the information to be able to either get connected as a retailer or sign up as a farmer if you want to come to us direct.
This business, then, how big is it? I mean, you know, you mentioned some big names. So it seems to me it's like it could be a flash in the pan. Campbell's gives you $1 million. They put out all their press releases. They go to the Wall Street Journal. They go to USA Today. They get on some evening news and they say, Campbell's cares about the environment. We invested $1 million to change farming practices for the better. They get their flash in the pan. They announce it at their shareholder meeting, and then boom, done. Is that what's going to happen?
No, I can see where that is coming up. I can see why people are asking that question. You know, I think even...
Well, I asked the question. I don't know if other people are, but I...
No, other people are asking that question. Because I've been in this space for 5 years now. And a lot of people told me over the course of 5 years, this is just going to be, you know, kind of a buzz thing, and then it's going to go away, right? And what we are actually finding is that that's probably not accurate, right? Because more companies are investing more money than they ever have. The government is now bringing forward climate smart commodity grants. They're bringing forward, you know, money for us to continue kind of down this path from the ecosystem space. And so I would say that this is a long term, you know, piece that we're going to be working with over the course of
the year. Yeah, so answer me this. You said climate, the government is doing climate smart commodity grants. Is that what I think you called it?
Yeah, so they actually came out with some climate smart grants. And so we were one of the large recipients of that grant. So Truterra was awarded $90 million.
Woo! Wow, that's a bunch of money.
I know. Not really.
In Washington, D.C. right now, they're tossing around billions like it's like, you know, like throwing out candy at a parade. So, you know, $90 million is not that much. Answer me this. And by the way, I was being a little bit of the devil's advocate saying that these companies are going to get their PR and move on.
Sure.
And that could happen. I mean, it could happen like 3 years from now.
There's definitely a concern there, right? And I can't say that there's not companies that aren't doing that because, you read the news, like it's out there. That happens.
Yeah, they get what they want, which is PR and goodwill with shareholders, and they get a best media free promotion, kind of, if you will, and then boom, they move on. So you could look at it as we gave $1 million, but essentially we bought promotion with this. But when you mention climate smart commodity grants from the government, is the next shoe that will fall 1 to 3 years from now? Government gives grants, but also says you're required to do this. Well, in other words, will this be a thing where I don't sell you carbon credits right now through Truterra for my farming acres, but 5 years from now I will because I'll have no choice?
Sure. Yeah. I also think that that's something that's on the top of everyone's mind. That is certainly not what Truterra is advocating for. Because we are the Land O'Lakes 100-year-old cooperative, we have a strong presence in D.C. We are working on a lot of these pieces in D.C., trying to advocate for more of a voluntary regulation, right? I think we are all very familiar with the fact that in Europe, they are doing regulated, carbon pieces. And so we are really trying to make sure that we are advocating very strongly for that voluntary regulation.
Yeah.
For the voluntary markets.
Yeah. Well, I can see where anybody, I'm a farm owner, and I can see where anybody in this entire ag space would be a little bristly about that. Like, wait a minute, you know, Waters of the U.S. was a big one 5 or 6 years ago that the EPA was going to push through where they're going to regulate every mud puddle and how it can be handled on every farm in America. You don't see it being a regulated thing in the next few years?
I don't foresee that it's going to move that way. I think that, I don't think that that would be the best positioning for this type of market. One of the most common questions that I get is from farmers asking, you know, am I going to need to own these credits in 5 years from now to offset my own, you know, my own emissions? And I don't foresee there being a point in time in the near future where that is going to be something that comes down the pipeline from the USDA.
Do you know the number? That's a good point, by the way. Do you know the number? How many dollars right now annually are going out to farmers for this sort of ecosystem services? Do you know a number?
I don't actually know a number, but from the whole market per se. But what I do know is that Truterra has successfully delivered around more than $4.5 million in cash payments for over 237,000-ish tons.
Truterra, since its incarnation, has given $4.5 million to offset tons of carbon.
Yeah, and that's in just the 2022 season. So for 2022, we are expecting to pay out more than $4.5 million.
Okay, but you've got $90 million. So that, by my math, is 5% of what you got given in a grant. So where's the other 95%?
Well, we haven't got the money yet. So the grant will take effect in 2023.
Did you notice I did that math in my head and I'm wearing my Purdue shirt? If you're listening to this for the video recording, I think it's important to understand for the video recording, if you happen to be just listening to the audio, I'm wearing my Purdue Boilermaker shirt. It's got Purdue Pete taking a hard swing at stuff. And I just took a big hard swing at that. And in my head, just like that, I did the math. $4.5 million is 5% of the $90 million grant you're getting.
You're so smart.
All right. So answer me this.
Yes. So we're not getting the money. I want to clear up. So we're not getting the money for the USDA until it's actually signed. So we're going through negotiations right now. It will be brought forward in 2023. So that money will start to hit the pavement in summer of 23.
Do you believe that this grant, Climate Smart grant. You said it was administered by USDA?
Yes.
Do you believe that in the future this will be an annual thing? Maybe part of the farm bill?
I'm not sure. So I don't actually know. I can't speak to that. I don't know if there's been discussions around what that could look like. But I don't think that that's an unreasonable thing. Just personally thinking about it, I do think that there's probably going to be some new awards coming forward around Climate Smart, you know, every year probably.
Yeah. The side of this that, like I said, there's always been a lot of vagueness and it seems to be getting more and more clear. And in a previous conversation with you, I said, all right, if I've got a bushel of soybeans, I know how to sell them. I know there's mm-hmm. 9 places within 20 miles of my farm that I can take a bushel of soybeans and sell it. Okay, they would probably want a whole truckload to even fool with it. But the point is, it's traded on the CME. I can go, formerly Chicago Board of Trade, if you will. I can go and price it. I know everything about it. But this whole ecosystem stuff from carbon and nitrogen, it's like, it's a funny market because it's not really a market. Is it getting closer to being a real legit market where I actually understand it? I mean, I can go on and type in, say, what's my 2011 Ford Taurus worth? Is it there yet?
It's not quite there yet, right? I would say that it's still the Wild West. We're maybe graduating a little bit, but it's definitely still the Wild West.
It's the tame West. It's the not as wild as it once was West.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, what I do know is that, you know, there's over 15 organizations in the United States alone that are offering carbon programs, that are offering sustainability programs. And so each one of those comes with a caveat, right? Every single contract is varying. Every single requirement is varying for the most part. And so I think it's just important to recognize that, you know, with all of those organizations out there, it's hard to get to a place where a farmer can confidently feel like they understand every single aspect of it. Because I don't understand every single aspect of it, and I work in it, right?
When I asked you, is this a flash in the pan from these companies from a PR standpoint, you said no. Will we get to where there's more acres that want this program than there's money to pay for it from private companies? Or I mean, private sector companies. They're publicly traded, but they're private sector companies. In other words, without USDA, without Farm Bill, am I going to get to where a year from now, 2 years from now, you and I are having this conversation, you're like, damn it, we ran out of money before we ran out of acres to sign up for this?
No, I actually think it's probably going to be the opposite, Damien, because what we are seeing in early indications are just the opposite. We're getting much more push to scale quicker than what we're actually able to do so. And so we have, we have more money coming from these large organizations than what we can actually fulfill from a farmer standpoint due to the actual requirements of adding a cover crop or switching to no-till, you know, because it is a big piece of farmer education when you're asking a farmer to make a new practice change. It's not something that they're just going to do overnight, right? They want to have some education around it. They want to be able to learn before they actually run, or they want to walk before they run.
Okay. You said, since, you know, this is the business of agriculture and then agriculture is a business. And I got people from all walks in this thing, you know, from food processors to machinery salespeople. Business equals money. How much money are we talking about? And I, in a previous conversation with you, I said, you know, if you tell me that I got to do this, this, and this, and you're gonna give me $3 an acre, I'm going to say, for God's sakes, I don't got time to fool with it for, you know, a couple bucks an acre. Is the money worth me doing these practices and cause I've got to tell you what I'm doing. I've got to go on your website and I've got to say, okay, this, this, and this, and you're going to send somebody out and they're going to document and say, okay, Damien's doing no-till or he's doing reduced tillage and he's got cover crop. He's got alfalfa in this field, which is 5 years without it ever being tilled. Okay. That helps qualify. He's got a manure management plan with his dairy farmer tenant, blah, 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 blah. We go through all that and you're telling me I'm going to get like $8. I'm going to be like, what? No. Is it worth me fooling with?
Yeah, I mean, I believe, of course, that's up to each individual farmer, but I do believe that it is worth the investment and it's worth the time. Because, first and foremost, you know, if you are already doing these practices, it's going to promote healthy soils. And so healthy soils is one of the most important pieces of why you should even be looking at an ecosystem market to begin with. And at Truterra, we're really focused on how do we help farmers plan, keep, and maintain the change, right? And so it's really those three key things that I think are important. And as you go into that planning phase, you know, we want to help you as a farmer through our soil health assessment, figure out where you can improve your operation, where you can make a change. You know, is your soil, is your aggregate stability in a good spot? You know, what about your water retention, mineralization of nutrients and things like that? So that's kind of the first stop for us. It is no cost to the farmer. We are providing these soil health assessments in specific states at no cost. And so that's really kind of the first stop. And so that costs nothing. But then once you get into making that change, you've already created that baseline of data that's needed for the ecosystem market. And so the burden is much less. So I would say it's up to each individual farmer, but beyond just the payment, there are a lot of soil health benefits.
I like soil health benefits. And right now we've got farm ground is up about, in my part of the world and your part of the world, because you're an Iowa girl and I'm an Indiana guy, we're up about 100% for a price of a piece of farm ground from 5 years ago. Which if you're paying that kind of money, you should take care of it. So I agree with you. Soil health. And I mean, I talk about it all the time. We're over there at Extreme Ag talking about it. We're here on the Business of Agriculture talking about it, that we still don't know about a lot. We might know more about outer space than we know about what happens within the soil. We're getting better at it, the biologicals, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm all with you on soil health. And you said something smart. You said lots of smart things, but you said something smart in your previous paragraph. You said, really, everything should be about soil health for this thing. In other words, if you're getting a payment, that's almost a bonus, right?
Sure.
To do this. How much is the money? How much money can I get?
Yeah. So the national average for carbon, if we're talking strictly carbon, right, the national average is about 0.4 tons. We are paying up to $30 a ton. So you'd be looking at about $12 an acre if you're at the national average. Now I want to be
The national average is 0.4 tons of carbon sequestered per acre. And that's doing these things like saying, yeah, we'll do a no-till program or we'll do a reduced till and cover crop. Mm-hmm. Is that basically what we're talking about?
Correct.
What else do I need to do? Do I need to reduce my trips across the field, which I'm doing anyhow from reduced tillage, but do I need to document that? Do I need to prove to you that I didn't drive out there?
Yeah, of course. So with any program, you're going to have the baseline data needs. And so the baseline data is going to, you're going to provide those 36 to 38 data points, and that's going to actually track the reduction or the no-till or, the cover crop plantings. Those pieces will all come in through the baseline data. So that is a requirement of actually being part of one of these markets, is that you have the baseline data needs to be able to figure out exactly where you're going to lay.
So we're $12 an acre. One time, I can't do this, but you tell me it could be every year.
Right. So at Truterra, we've tried to make this as farmer friendly and as farmer focused as possible. So we will be able to purchase your carbon every single year, right? So once you get into our program, you're going to get $12 this year. We're going to go ahead and we're going to model out and quantify the carbon again next year. Maybe next year you end up with 0.6 tons, right? And so next year you're going to get paid for 0.6 tons. And so every year you're going to get paid for your actual carbon that you've stored. And you're also going to get market price. And so if carbon goes from $30 this year to $40 next year, you're going to be able to get that market price.
Whoa, my girl. You know what? You're starting to make this sound more interesting and appealing. So here's the thing. If you tell me that I'm doing good by yanking carbon out of the atmosphere and sticking it in my soil by doing these practices, meaning I alter my practices just a little bit, and you say, hey, the national average is 0.4 of a pound or ton. But yeah, man, you killed it. You got up to double that, 0.8. So now you're paying again. Now it's 0.8 times $30. And then who sets the price of carbon? Again, it's not traded on the London Stock Exchange. How do we come up with that number?
It's really about, you know, what are these large organizations willing to pay, right? And I think the key thing is that a lot of people think that it's just as simple as an organization pays Truterra and Truterra pays the farmer, but there's a lot of other things that go into that. And so when the farmer is getting $30 a ton, there's still significant cost behind that because you have to do soil sampling, you have to do modeling, you have to do the quantifications, the certifications, right? All of those pieces behind that are also very, very costly.
Are you sending a person out every year?
So we don't actually send anyone out to the farm. We have a third-party verification service that will that could potentially contact you as the farmer. So if you get pulled for verification, they will do a farmer interview. They're going to ask you questions about basically the data that you provided. The other thing that's coming down the pipeline is going to be remote sense, right? So we'll be able to see, yes, that was actually a corn crop. No, that was actually beans, just to do some verification from that standpoint as well. So that's also evolving alongside the market, is that remote sense is going to be coming into this to this space as well.
How many companies are doing this? How many companies are doing what Truterra is doing? I know that you're going to say we're doing things differently, and you are. You're more involved. You've got you've got people. You've got boots on the ground. You're actually soil health assessments or whatever. How many entities are allegedly operating in, brokering in, dealing in carbon?
Yeah. So my last, the last time I knew, I know it's 15 give or take. It may be more than that. It may be a few less than that. But at my last count, it was around 15. So you have 15 different opportunities, I guess.
Okay. And you would tell me that Truterra's got a different positioning in that you are, after all, affiliated with the retailers, and you've got, you know, a little versus just saying, hey, we're a place that, that brokers carbon.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely. And that is one of the biggest benefits that Truterra is able to bring, is because we have this very strong retail network through our Land O'Lakes owned cooperatives. We're also bringing things forward, like you mentioned, the soil health assessment. That is the first of its kind on the market. There's no one else that is offering these services to kind of meet every single farmer, no matter where they're at in the journey. I'm really excited to be able to say, you know, come July of this year, we're going to have an offering for every single farmer, an offering for a farmer that's been no-till for 20 years, or a farmer that is completely conventional till.
This is beyond just carbon, because you've spoken a little bit on nitrogen. Tell me where mm-hmm. that goes, because nitrogen and nitrous oxide and nitrates have become the new swear word. It came on my radar in the summer with the Netherlands. The Netherlands bowing to European Union climate crusaders is now saying that they're going to reduce nitrogen emissions in the Netherlands, which does have a lot of intensive livestock production. And so it went on. I read multiple articles about nitrogen, nitrates, nitrous oxide, etc. Nitrous oxide, by the way, prior to this whole thing as it relates to ag, is laughing gas. And that's all I could think about was, isn't this laughing gas, nitrous oxide? Anyway, why is laughing gas bad? And what's the story about this?
So a nitrous oxide is actually about 200 to 300 times more potent than the traditional greenhouse gas that we're getting whenever we're talking about carbon removal, so the carbon in the soil. Why it's important is because obviously it's so much more potent, and it's creating a thinning of the atmosphere, right? And so if we can actually reduce the nitrogen that's coming onto the field for our traditional corn crops, then, you know, we are reducing our overall emissions, and we're able to actually sell those just like we would be able to sell the carbon credits from the soil storage. So what's going to be coming down the pipeline, and this is still very much in early stages, and we're doing our first pilot here. We just started last fall, and we'll have some numbers back come February, March timeframe. But it's really going to incorporate any farmer that has been long-term no-till, long-term, you know, cover cropper, they are able to participate. If you're a conventional tiller, you're able to participate, because what we will be asking is that you reduce nitrogen at a minimum of 5%, but we'd like to see 10%. And with that, you are you're also able to add a stabilizer, and so that would make you qualified for nitrogen reduction.
Okay, so I just reduce it by just putting less on it,
it's the whole premise is about actually reducing the amount of nitrogen that's going on the field. Yeah.
Okay. There are biological companies now that have products that tout you can reduce nitrogen. That's one of their big things. Right. And so this is a boon to them. Essentially, can I take the money you're giving me to reduce nitrogen applications and spend it on their product and still make money?
Yeah, so I think that's a little bit where we're at in the exploratory piece, right? Because you're correct. There's a lot of biological organizations. The key thing to keep in mind is that just like when we have the carbon credits, we also have carbon credit methodologies and registries or certification bodies. We also are going to have the same thing from a nitrogen reduction standpoint. And so all of these methodologies will have to be approved. And so if you have a particular product that you want from a biological standpoint, it will have to be part of the written methodology. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. You see this thing growing.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that it's only going to continue to grow. I think there's going to be more investment. I think people are going to start to look at things differently. You're going to start to see some ag companies come out with some of their initiatives, like the biological companies that are wanting to be, you know, a piece of the puzzle. I think that's definitely an accurate statement.
Mm-hmm. And then you think the money can grow. You already talked about that. You think mm-hmm. the price of carbon go down as more companies toss money mm-hmm. into this? Or do you think it goes up? How do we even have a prediction about that?
You know, if I was a mind reader on that, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I really don't know, Damien. I would like to think that it's going to continue to grow and evolve. I can talk to you traditionally over the last 3 years. Yeah. We have seen it grow. So I would like to think that it will continue to grow, you know, the grow in price. But I have no way of actually knowing, I guess.
Do you have, since you've been at this for a while and more than you know, some of these startups that are doing this, mm-hmm. do you have a good story for me? Do you have a story where a farmer got paid money and also improved the soil, and also it didn't cost them any yield? In fact, it made them more yield. They're making more money off their crops as they're making more money off of carbon. Can you give me that story?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the easy one, just because we like to pick on him, is Kelly, right? I mean, I think Kelly Garrett has adopted these practices. He has improved his soils. He will be the first one to tell you that his soil is probably the healthiest that it's ever been. You know, I can personally say I was in Kelly's field, I don't know, it was maybe back in October. And as I was just, I'm a soil nerd, as I was looking at the soil, I mean, I was just digging through and I was hitting so many earthworms. And so you could see how healthy and vibrant the soil was. And he would definitely be the first one to say that his yields have improved and not fallen behind because of these opportunities.
Yeah. Is there anything I didn't ask you, Mariah, Director of Retailer and Farmer Services, as it relates to ecosystem services? You talked about carbon, obviously, is the biggie, and it's still there. And you talked about nitrogen and that the push to reduce nitrogen. Is there another one that we're not, you know, is there another one that we're methane or something like that that's out there?
Yeah, so methane is out there. That's a great question. So at Terterra, we also have a livestock division, a dairy division. Corey Scott and her team are working really hard to develop some of the methane pieces. I actually am not the person to ask about that. I will get over my skis really quickly talking about livestock. But yeah, I mean, we are working on those other opportunities. We're also working, to figure out some pieces around water quality. So all of these things are coming down the pipeline. And that's why I'm really trying hard to shift from just the carbon conversation to more of the ecosystem services conversation.
Well, it's legit because we've been hearing about the carbon for a long time. And it seems like if it's legit, if it's not just XYZ company wants a PR flash in the pan, if it's legit, carbon is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's all these other things.
Yeah, there's many other things, and it's going to be a way for our farmers, rural economies, and the rural vibrance, because they're getting compensated, you know, on something that really, you know, just changing the practice is something that they may have already started, and so they find it as a good idea. You know, it's going to continue to strengthen our rural economies. And I think that's really the most important piece of this, is that we are looking out for our farmers, our retailers, and they are strengthening their own economies.
I think a critic from outside of ag would look at this and say, well, you know what? These farmers are doing bad stuff for our environment. They shouldn't be rewarded just for finally doing what they should do anyhow. And my response would be, we did what we need to do to maximize production. You know, we didn't do this because we were trying to, you know, like I can look at Ohio and Lake Erie, the watershed for Lake Erie. We've had a phosphate issue there for a long time. In the last 10 years, it's become a real evident thing that phosphorus phosphorus application to fields is being now monitored because phosphates got in Lake Erie and caused this huge algae bloom, which is killing off stuff. Farmers didn't do that because they want to kill Lake Erie. They did it because phosphorus helped them get yields. And now we're getting better about all that. So I see all this coming together pretty mutually beneficially to everyone, environment and farmer, I think. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it ends up where we hurt the farmers' yields and we don't. But what do you think?
No, I don't think so. You know, I actually, Dr. Christine Morgan, she works for Soil Health Institute. We were talking earlier this week, and in the Western Iowa, where the Missouri River Valley is, right, there's a lot of tillage, and people, you know, they feel like they have this misnomer that you can't do no-till in the Missouri River bottom, right? and it's always very funny to me because they're like, well, I can't do that because I have to dry the soil out. And so I have to just do recreational tillage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we're seeing is that those farmers that are adopting sort of this no-till, or at least a strip till, they're finding that it is working, and they're reducing fuel costs. They're gaining in yield. Their soil structure is better. And so I would say that you're exactly right. It can be mutually beneficial. But the key thing is having someone that can educate you, having that peer-to-peer network coordination with a farmer in your neighborhood that's already done it. I mean, they're probably willing to talk to you about it. You just have to take the first step sometimes.
You just described a phenomenon that I've been observing for half a century. The right. farmer, that would never work here mentality. Well, you can do that stuff over there. And I've seen it by township. I mean, it's not like by state. It's like, well, you can do that over there in Liberty Township, but that would never work over here. I'm like, you're 4 miles away. Okay. Anyway, that's funny. Hey, last thing. What did I miss that you need people to know when it comes to this? Because again, I think it's going to grow. You tell me you think it's going to grow. I think there's dollars to be made. This is a revenue source that farmers and even farm owners can get in on. And maybe it does. Maybe it is a flash in the pan. Maybe it does go away 3 years from now. I don't know. You don't think it does. What else do we need to cover that I didn't ask you?
No, I mean, I think we hit all of the right points. I think I would just reiterate, you know, if you're interested, even if you don't think you're going to qualify or you just want to have a conversation with someone, you know, go to TerraAg.com. There's definitely ways to be able to reach out to individuals on our team that can help you, that can have a conversation. It costs you nothing to take the survey. It costs you nothing to reach out to us. And I think that's the biggest piece, right? Is just call and figure out if it's something that's of interest, and we're here to help.
TerraAg.com. Her name is Mariah Murphy. If you have any commentary about this or questions about this, go ahead and send it to me. I do want you to know that TruTerra is now a sponsor of the Business of Agriculture podcast. I brought them on because I actually do believe that the future is going to be a farm operator that can maximize revenue from sources other than just their commodity production. And if you can do right by your soil and get the environmental benefit, or even be able to go and tell everybody that you're doing the right thing and get paid for it. You know what? There's a lot of good with that. Her name is Mariah Murphy. Thanks for being here, my dear.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Great to see you.
And my name is Damian Mason. This is the Business of Agriculture. Hey, thanks for being here. This episode of the Business of Agriculture was brought to you by Pattern Ag. You've heard me talk about Pattern Ag because I think it's a pretty cool concept. New technology that allows you to predict the problems you're going to have and therefore treat them before those problems cost you money. What kind of problems am I talking about? Pests and disease. Things like corn rootworm, sudden death syndrome, cyst nematode, and a whole bunch of other bad things that happen out there in the field that can cost you money. Guess what? Pattern Ag will let you find out ahead of time if the disease or the pest pressure is there, and therefore you're treating it before it costs you any money. What a great concept. Go to pattern.ag, that's www.pattern.ag, to learn more about their product, their technology, how it can make you money, save you yield, and also where you can find a rep that can come out there and do the work for you. Pattern.ag.